911 emergency, what are you reporting?
You're listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by our friends at Watson.
Hey, welcome back to We Speak Dispatch. I'm John. I'm based out of Florida with some great folks joining me today. You know some of the faces and voices, and one we're going to all meet together. So we have Doug. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Ready to go.
Great. Jill?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. And Joe?
Absolutely. It's great to be back. Hope everybody's having a good day.
Great, great, great. Yeah, I know I am in sunny Florida, still in shorts and a t-shirt at this season. We're like the week prior to Thanksgiving. So if you're not in Florida and wearing t-shirt Crocs and shorts, well, you could be. From somebody else who's not in Florida but with us today is Christy. Christy, go ahead and tell us about yourself. I believe you said you're from New York.
Oh, no, not even close.
Okay, well, I got that wrong. Western Minnesota. I had someone else on the brain.
Yes, I do tend to differentiate between the metro, because we are nothing like the metro, 400 miles away. So Crookston, Minnesota, Fulton County. In fact, born and raised, 45 degrees here today. So it's a it's a warm one. It's a good one.
It's a good one.
The snow melted. The snow melted.
It's above freezing. You're good.
It is.
All right. So, Christy, you reached out to us, correct? You reached out to us and said, hey, you know, I'm kind of getting into 911, making a career transition. So tell us how you transitioned, or why you transitioned, whatever you want to share, from where you were to 911. And
sure.
What you got?
Yep, I've always been interested in 911. 15 years ago, I applied. I ended up pregnant, and that just wasn't going to work. Hours and shifts and training. So went in and got my nursing degree. So I've had that since 03. And then I kind of spun off of that into the side of mental health. Worked in chemical dependency and psychiatric centers. That led me to mental health practitioner certifications. My interest in law enforcement, corrections, all the fun stuff, right, is just like amazing. And so I like the crisis work. I like the mental health response. 7 years there with being the supervisor, I just felt like time to really, I won't put my age there, but you know, I'm not getting any younger, and I just need a little more. And yeah, so with some of the changes that I see with us trying to integrate mental health crisis into the 911, I think I can bring a lot to that, and that's where I want to go with it.
Absolutely. Did you integrate yourself a part of mental health with 911 prior?
Through community teams, we've got community access teams and things like that. So that was about all for us. We don't have anyone embedded in the 911 dispatch center. We have very, very few corrections or officers, CIT trained, so crisis intervention trained, which is unfortunate, especially with the area that we cover and the mental health calls that come in. So I'm integrating.
Well, the bad thing is not a lot of agencies have that training. I mean, I go all over the country, and lots of people, I bring that stuff up, and they're like, you know, we're supposed to have training in that, but we don't.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I've sent, I'm part of the CIT, Minnesota CIT, so I'm a coach, I'm 40 hours certified, and a mental health presenter. And so I've started chipping away a couple patrol, off-street patrols, a little bit here and there to get them trained, because it's hard to pull them off the floor or off the ship for 40 hours and head down to the Minneapolis area and then come back and work. So it's really difficult to get our groups there, but we're keep chipping away at it. And
they hired you. Did they say, hey, we want you to take your knowledge you got from mental health and blend it into what we do in our job?
Absolutely. And that's the big goal working with our sheriff is he's part of the community response team. And we just see so much opportunity being embedded in that right there with the dispatchers, taking the calls, and then also being that peer support as part of a SISM team.
But they're not going to have you. They don't want you to actually go in the field and, like, when somebody's on an enforcement contact or whatever, you're going to go out and do something and leave dispatch going, who's answering?
No, no. And that's the part I struggle with, because I'm still, I would love to. Yeah. I love to do that corresponding, and I get so much out of it. But yeah, unfortunately, I won't be able to leave that desk and and do that.
Yeah.
Do they have an issue with the fact that I know something like when I answered 911 calls, our agency did not do any kind of medical dispatching. Any kind of medical goes to fire department, let them do it. So does your agency say, you can go ahead and do your mental health stuff on the phone with somebody? That's all right. Go ahead and do whatever you got to do with somebody. Do they have any problem with that?
They don't have a problem with it. You know, there will be that. With having our crisis line answered here in Crookston, where I live, we do want to make use of that resource too. Now with the 988 and everything, we don't want that to, you know, to go away. In that position, we would take about 150, 140 just mental health crisis calls. Wow. For 8 counties. So the limited number of dispatchers, we wouldn't be able to do that anyways. So
yeah.
When it comes to mental health training, one of the things that always interests me the most is it seems that there's an interest in the 911 community for more of it and getting more people certified. And sometimes when it comes to, we have to train on, well, say customer service, the people we send to those trainings have to be voluntold rather than volunteering. Do you notice that more people are volunteering to go to this training than other types of training?
No, not much at all. I hear even from our law enforcement that, yeah, I'll go if I'm voluntold. And okay. I want it just to get, I want them to be excited, and, you know, there's the role playing, and if they could just know what they'd come back with, I think that could do it. And it's just would be a matter of time for habit, you know, get them ready to give us a call and we go respond together. But it's so far and few between that they would even call myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On a mental health call. And it's like, come on, guys, just give us the call.
Do you teach this class or this topic that you're talking about? Do you go out and teach classes of this? You know, at different conferences or at training days or something like that. Is that what you do?
I can do a little bit of it, but being it's Minnesota CIT recognized, I can't take all of that material and like take a class of 10 here and teach that. I could do a smaller version if I would come up with one. But I do like my chances to go to the Minneapolis area and do the coaching with law enforcement, correctional officers.
Oh, neat.
That's where I do my part of the training, is I'm able to do coaching and presenting.
Oh, wow.
And usually the only mental health individual in the group of 20 or so.
So I do have a question. So you're crossing over from mental health into 911. How do you find that transition going?
I think it's going
easier,
really well.
Harder, yeah, than you thought?
Well, my sergeant that I'm kind of working with, he says you're coming in as a strong hitter, and he's actually said calm down a little bit because I'm so excited. And I grew up around here. Our county is, I don't know, 31,000 people in the entire county.
Oh wow, small.
What do we cover? I have it. We cover almost 2,000 square miles. County, you know, so when you put all that together, I don't know what that looks like, but growing up around here, road tripping and cruising around hunting, I say I'm so excited because I'm familiar with faces, with geography, with everything. And he said, yep, wait till you get the transition.
I imagine with this new environment, not only transitioning job, employer, and now it's just mental health plus everything else that you don't know about or learning now, mm-hmm, about 911, but it's now you're tethered indoors versus, hey, I can do a Halle Berry, unplug and go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, are you adapting well to that? And obviously you must have known that, okay, right. That's part of the transition.
I am adapting well because I choose to, and I can make change like that. And I'm, you know, like I said, pretty excited, but I think they're a little worried that she's going to want to put that headset do down more. And go fly out the door mm-hmm. or get out of work and go on ride along.
We had a guy that was a paramedic in another state, came to work for us, and we told him, hey, we don't do any medical dispatching, don't do any, just give him the fire. And he kept doing it. And where he's like, well, I'm a paramedic, I know all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but the liability factor is we're not to be doing that. And just because you've got the training doesn't mean anybody else here does, and we don't. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
I would think that'd be tough for you to kind of say, well, hold on, I want to really get involved in your conversation with somebody, but the other phones are ringing, so I got to
stay right, home. Right. So that's one of my big goals with the transition is working with the team that that I'm really well versed with. I've known these individuals for years on the team, so I'm hoping that that's one of my really big goals and focuses and visions is to be able to handle those calls. You know, and take the time if the phone is ringing and have the others trained, because that can save an officer to go to somebody who's paranoid and resolve it. You know, we can still hand off to the resources, to the crisis center, to the stabilization unit. We've got two beds. So there's so much. It could go on and on and on of what I have thinking.
What's one thing you would tell the peer support team members or the supervisors or managers that are listening to this podcast that go up and check on an employee that just took a very traumatic call and the employee says that they're fine? You offer a critical incident debriefing to go over the incident and they say they're not going to go. Should you or should you not make them mandatory?
I don't feel like they should be mandatory, but I think that comes into that, you know, that inclusive leadership from the get-go, because we can all be leaders. And I am coming from that supervision role. And so again, now I'm going to sit and be trained for a minimum of 4 months. And again, what I hope is that instead of pushing the individual to the peer support team, I want them to just be aware and come out and check on us for those high priority calls. And not say, oh, my supervisor said I should come check on you. So that's where I'm hoping teams can get to, is that the peer support more takes the initiative to go and support that person off the floor and allow that.
How big is your comm center?
We have five spaces. When I'm sitting in there right now, if there's three because of short staff.
Oh my God.
We're pretty lucky. Our director's doing a lot. She's doing the weekends.
Total or per shift?
Per shift. Okay. Some of the shifts. So we do 7 to 7 or noon to midnights.
Okay.
The overnight, there is times where there's one person.
Ooh.
With the staffing. So it's really, it's a tough spot.
Does all of the people that work there know your history of this mental health thing out there?
They do. From
so do you find yourself when somebody talks to you looking at them like, really? Really? I mean, you're kind of psychoanalyzing people as you're sitting there.
I do tend to. I can do that with
we got frozen.
Oh. She got frozen.
It's just one of the things I like to do. And
I would just think it would be tough to tell you something because you'd be looking at you like, how's your mom? And you're like, I don't want to talk about it.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I have told myself and had some talks with myself.
About not
stay in your lane, know your place. And maybe, you know what, I might be able to have that discussion sometimes with others still, but it's going to be very interesting on the difference of calls in the crisis center.
I know we don't have that much more time, but what do you hope that, like, your 5-year plan, do you want to stay in the dispatch world or do you want to kind of merge it out someplace or what do you want to do?
She just got there.
It's like,
the four month plan is to complete training.
I do, but I want to do everything, and that's my problem. I've got my nursing degree. I want to camp that work with dispatch and mental health and then forensics and then the jail. I mean, I want to be everywhere and want it all to work together. ERs, inpatient facilities, you know, all of that. So that's not going to happen in 5 years, right? Or maybe ever. So I just want to bring what I can and show the possibilities. And hopefully it just kind of, it will segue into others having the same thoughts and motivation.
So you said there's a Minnesota CIT, right?
There is.
Okay. So have your center cycled people through that class or a class for dispatchers through Minnesota CIT?
They now have one.
They do. Yes. Yes. And okay. Not because of me, but I'm going to go to that in March. They barely just opened it up to have even correctional offices go. It's really been the deputies, the police. Like I said, I've gone to many classes and I'm the only mental that they'll call me. So, but now there is an 8-hour day for just dispatch focus with CIT.
Okay, good. So it's a bridged version. Yeah. Cause they don't need the 40 hours necessarily.
Right.
Do you find, last question here, that if I'm not comfortable taking mental health calls, or it's a call that if you're working, granted you're in training, so this may not be allowed, that those types of calls are quote unquote pawned off on you?
She can talk
with our known John much better than I can.
Right. And I could. And you know, and that's part two where calling me a strong hitter going in, I've really been told, you know, yes, you probably can, but there is this scope that, you know, you're newly going to be under. You're not the boss. But knowing the crew, and you know, I might be sitting with one other person.
Yeah.
And they're taking calls. I'm doing radio, however it might be. But I think working with the team, it will lead to that. One of the dispatchers now is he came off the force of the city police. Mm. The other one's the director, so I'm sure any call I want to take, she'll let me. She doesn't want to be, working those four shifts. But I, you know, and I want to be open to that.
As you should. As you should, especially
learning and experience. But
that's true. Yeah,
very interesting.
Wow.
Well, good luck to you. I mean, this is still a massive transition, I would say. And wishing you the best. And what do you have? You said 4 more months, or it's a total of 4 month training program?
Four more months now, probably starting next week. I've done they've sent me home with like maps and, you know, officer names, badges, all kinds of stuff. So I've been doing some at home training, but to actually get in there.
Okay. So in March of 2024, we need to have you back on. So that you could tell us how training went and with mental health and where you all are with everything, because then we could see the progress and growth of it all.
Oh, that would be
great. Could have you in January and see how things are going.
That CIT class in March.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah, I would love to. So you could make that happen.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks a lot, Christy, from Minnesota, not New York.
Minnesota. You just want to hear me say it, don't you? Minnesota.
Yes, I do.
Minnesota. Have you know, I just did get back from Tennessee on November 2nd.
And oh, we have people from Tennessee online now.
Yeah, we're from Tennessee. So we're in Tennessee.
You
right
guys,
now.
Anytime you want me in person, Tennessee, I'll figure it out. What's that?
Did you go to Nashville?
Yes, I go to Nashville. I also like Knoxville.
About 20 minutes from Nashville, so
yeah.
Okay.
Next time you're in town, get us up.
That would be great. Every few months, I try to get there. So sometimes it's even by myself. I love it.
Wow. Yes. Oh wow!
I have a 10th grader, and he says once he's gone, I can go, but he's not willing to move with me yet. So, and plus, I got this job. So.
Well, yeah.
We'll see if it goes.
Get some vacation days first.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the other thing. I'm not the schedule person anymore either. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, we need to check in together around March or certainly before and see how things are going with training and mental health and how things are going at the dispatch center with CIT training.
Yes.
With everything. And glad to hear that the sheriff's on board with everything. So thanks for reaching out. Great to have you.
Thank you, guys. This is fun.
Thank you, too.
Watson Consult is a proud sponsor of the We Speak Dispatch podcast. For more information or to schedule a showroom tour, visit watsonconsoles.com.